So what's the fallen nature of man? What happens to you when you fall? Huh? What is happening to the fallen man? The spirit is cut off from God. So guess what rises up? The body and the soul in collusion together rise up against your spirit. You're being dominated within the confines of your own body. My appetites in me, in cohesion with the devil, him infiltrating me, rise up and my spirit man is held captive. That's why Jesus said, I came to do what? Set the captives free. What was held captive? Your spirit man was, because you became what the Bible calls soulish. Now the Bible translates the word for soulish different ways. Same word now, it's psychikos, meaning you're soulish. We get the word psychology from it. He translates it as natural, the natural man. He translated it as the carnal man, the fleshly man. All of this is the same word. You're a carnal, soulish man. What has happened? Your body and your soul dominate you at the expense of your spirit, which is cut off from God. Since your spirit is not in covenant with God, your appetites on the outside dominate you. That's how you lived before you were born again. He looks good. He got on that cologne. He smells good. He was talking to me. He sounded good. When he stroked my leg, it sure felt good. When I kissed him, he had been chewing some gum and it tasted good. She's chewing some strawberry gum. Or she had on some strawberry lipstick. You know that strawberry lipstick used to make your lips taste like strawberry. So when he kissed you, you taste like strawberries or grapes or something. It's like kissing fruit. That's every sense. Seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, smelling. Perfect arsenal to destroy you. Sense inundation. Sensual. The devil's appending himself to your senses. That's why a cell phone, a TV, and movies, and anything in the sight and sound realm is dangerous. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you see, because it's assaulting your senses. Did you not know there's an undercover stealth warfare being fought in Washington right now? There's a deep state in Washington that's fighting against the presidency right now that nobody knows about. You don't even understand. This is a invisible, silent coup going on. How do you get all these leaks? Who's leaking? You better start using your head for more than a hat rack. It's the spirit of Antichrist that God is holding back. He doesn't hold back with perfect saved people, because a lot of saved people won't fight.
That's right.
You got to go and get somebody that's just as ruthless as they are to fight them.
Right.
You need Cyrus. You need Darius. Let me raise up Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
Because church folk ain't going to fight. So you got to use somebody that's ruthless and will use their tactics to hold back that force, giving the church time to do what? Amalgamate. The standard to be raised to gather his people together. Because God is not after trying to save the United States. You get guys like Alex Jones. Alex Jones' whole thing is the nation, Americana, bringing us back. He'll talk about God and Jesus Christ, and the Democrats are demons, you know, stuff like that. Then they'll tell you, you got rhinos, fake Republicans that are also evil, that got to be expunged. But he's fighting for the nation. We're not. We're fighting for another kingdom. Another king. We're fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom to come. And the way his kingdom is going to come is when all of his people are on board the ark. We're here to ingather his people, have them prepared without a spot, blemish, nor wrinkle. So when Jesus comes, he can extract his people out of here before he burns it up. So you got this undercurrent of people like Alice Jones and other folk that call themselves patriots because we're trying to save America from this hidden stealth takeover. And they support Trump and they're trying to stand against these people who they call communist and Marxist and left-wing zealots. And all of that's going on all the time. It's all the time going on. And very few people are even acknowledging it or knowing anything about it. So you got Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, all these different talk shows. That's what they're hit. That's what Sean Hannity talks about all the time. The deep state, the hidden people. You ever seen a Jason Bourne movie? It's always some undercurrent in those movies or some other force that's running the system for real. This stuff is real. The world is knit together. The world is a small place. You got to understand the force you see out there. That's why they put Raymond Simone on The View as a lesbian. Promote Ellen DeGeneres as a TV show. This is all done on purpose. Movies with gay love scenes. This is an agenda in play. They want to make your young people accept the fact that homosexuality is normal. They're normalizing sodomy. It's going to be a kingdom of sodomites. Daniel says the Antichrist will be a sodomite. He'll have no desire for women. This is going to be a freak show. So you're seeing all this happening. Church folk blind as a bat. Don't want to hear it. And actually accepting the homosexual agenda, talking about God loves everybody. It's a rare person that is saved. You don't know that many saved people. You don't know that many Christians. Most people mentally assent to it. And the arbiter of whether or not they're saved is their reaction and response to the truth. You think your husband or wife is saved, but they ain't, because they regurgitate the truth. Give them the truth and see the response. They're not born again if they don't want the truth. Well, you think God, well, you know, they're a good person. Remember Lot's wife, you better leave them alone. When they look back, you better keep going. You say it's hardcore. It's a hardcore life. Sure is. I can't account for anybody else being saved. My wife knows if I fall, keep going. This ain't contingent on me. It's not contingent on her. You better know the Lord for yourself in these last days. Many are called, but few are chosen. Your reaction to the truth. Remember he said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because they received not the love of the truth. That reaction to the truth will determine what you really are. If you can ingest and digest lies with no resistance and you resist the truth, you're not saved. You better write that down and grant it in your heart, because that's real. And you're going to think you're going to be giving somebody a pass, and don't give anybody the benefit of the doubt. Believe the doubt. For real. I'm just going to give you the benefit of the doubt. No, if I got doubt, I'm believing the doubt. I'd rather be safe than sorry. So you see now, earthly, sensual, demonic. Outer court, inner court, holy of holies. Egypt, wilderness, promised land. Egypt, a slave to your passions. Remember, they were bound in Egypt as a servant. In the wilderness, they were being what? Sanctified. He was washing and regenerating them in the wilderness, but he had to expunge what? The old Egyptian mind. That's what's happening in the church right now. He is getting to some people who are making up their mind to leave the Egyptian church. When my mind was bound, I got to make a decision now whether I'm going to stay in this and be damned in it, or will I separate with the people of God and go into the promised land? Remember, you die in the wilderness. God uses this world and the systems therein to expunge Egypt out of your heart. Notice how everything you put any value in, he'll put his finger on it. He's doing what? Expunging Egypt from your heart. You just don't know what's happening to you. The hurt you feel is Egypt dying. Because he knows you're what? You're an idolater by nature. You're an idolater. You got another God before me. Lady called me yesterday, day before yesterday. My husband this, my husband that, my husband. Say, you're an idolater. You worship another God. You going to hell for focusing on your husband. You're an idolater. A lot of folks try to justify idolatry talking about they're trying to save somebody. You're a liar. You're an idolater of them. If anything puts the brakes on you serving God, you are an idolater. If anything can stop you, hinder you, make you feel melancholy, hurt, depressed, anxiety stricken, you are an idolater. First commandment, I am the Lord your God. I will have no other gods before me. None. Zero. And if you got one, he'll put his finger right on it. He'll let that thing cut you in half till you stop. And you won't even recognize you're an idolater. But the effect the thing has on you validates and verifies you're an idolater. If he says he'll give me perfect peace of my mind and stay it on him, I best keep my mind on him. But you see how the gospel is so narrow? You see how the gospel don't play with nobody? His reign falls on the just and the unjust equally, buddy. Idolatry is very broad in its concepts. You can idolize anything. That's why you got 5,000 pairs of stilettos. Because I like how my feet look in these high heels. And I got 10,000 pairs of stiletto. Because they tell me I got nice legs in these heels. And you idolize stiletto heels. You can idolize your own physical body parts. Idolize your car. You can idolize anything. Idolize people. You can idolize a church. Notice anytime you idolize something, Jesus goes right to it. Lord, have you noticed this temple is beautiful? Not one stone will be left one upon the other. All of it's coming down. Thank you. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. Who are they? I don't care nothing about none of them. Anytime you lift up anything in the sense realm, if you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, he's going to cut it down. Because he knows it's temporal, and you've been captivated by temporalities, and you'll forsake eternity for the temporal. Everybody's on a quest to try to find a comfort zone down here, and guess what? It don't exist. There is no comfort zone on earth. Because he's doing what? Pushing you out of time. Anytime you try to settle down and relax, he's going to stir it up. Because you'll have no peace in time and space and temporalities, because he's driving us toward eternity. Yes. Accept the conflict, embrace it, like it. Yes. People tell me I'm tired. I ain't tired. I'm in a conflict. You gotta settle it. I'm in a conflict. It's not going away. I might as well engage and stay in it to win it. He that endureth to the end, verily he shall be saved. This ain't no short sprint. This is a long distance run. And it's not made for the faint of heart. Man, this thing is more than a notion like they used to tell you. And the devil set up churches to pacify the people and make them believe it don't take all that. Just find ease in Zion. Learn to coexist with the devil. And the devil began to whisper, tolerance, diversity, acceptance, coexistence. Don't rock the boat. I'm rocking every canoe, every ship, every cruiser, every battleship. I'm rocking everything. You got to be contrary to everything the devil is to make it out of here. If the devil's for it, I'm against it. If he's against it, I'm for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's a sensual warfare. He'll use anything, anybody, anywhere to get you into the flesh, to keep you away from Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of his will in your life. And the devil's vicious. He don't care who it is. That's why you can know no man after the flesh. When you got a demon you're dealing with, if you take it personally, guess what you are? You're a self-idolater. Because they offended me. They said it and did it to me. You idolize yourself. Body, soul, and spirit. Triune being. You got to understand the functionalities of every part of you. The body is world conscious. It's conscious of the world. It's conscious of the environment out here. The soul is self-conscious. And your born again spirit is God conscious. You should be in direct contact with God in your spirit. And you should dictate to your soul and body. That's why David says, "Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God." He told his soul what to do. You have a will that governs your salvation. Not your feelings, not your emotions, not trying to feel love. You should be full of love because God is love. If God fills your spirit, you got love because God's presence is love. You don't have to feel nothing. That's why people don't understand love. They keep trying to tell me, "Price, you show no love." So you're trying to feel it. If I tell you the truth, I love you. Well, say it softer, kinder, you wouldn't hear me. You never hear me if I said it soft and tender. I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm cutting through that flesh of yours. I'm making you uncomfortable on purpose to cut through that nasty flesh. Because the flesh and the soul are trying to find some way to just relax and find peace. Every time I turn around, I'm stirred up again. I come in here on Sunday just when I got peaceful, and here you go with something else. You know what's doing that? Love. Because it won't let you be comfortable in the flesh and in this world. It won't let you settle down here. There is nothing here. There's nothing you're going to find. Nothing going to give you solace. Nothing going to give you comfort. This is a world scheduled to be burned up. He's going to disintegrate this place. He says, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. We warn man.
Yes.
I'm warning you of the impending wrath to come. God's going to vent on this place. Don't you know they fled from the anger and the rage of the Lamb? That sounds like it's a real, real oxymoron. The anger, the wrath of a lamb? What's he going to do to you, a lamb? Jesus ain't coming back as the Lamb of God. He's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah with vengeance in his heart. He said, man, that army in the Middle East, the horses, the blood will be up to the horse's bridle, 134 miles long. He's going to destroy everything in sight. And you think, if you think his feelings are going to be governing him, you better think again. God has killed more people in the Old Testament than the law would allow. I made you, I'll destroy you. I'm God. There is no other God. He asked a question one time in the Old Testament. He says, look, do you know of another God? Then he turned around and said, I know of no other. You don't want to fool around with God. God will destroy you. See, people try to get a pin to God, only grace with no judgment. You stay balanced. He's not only judgment with no grace. He's not only grace without judgment. He's both of them. Don't get him wrong now. God loves everybody unconditionally, but he does not accept you unconditionally. There are conditions to it, his acceptance. If then fills the pages of the Bible. If you do this, then I will do this. You can't get around the conditions in the Bible. That's why unconditional eternal security is a damnable lie birthed out of the pits of hell. Salvation and eternal security is conditional. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you ask what you will. See, everything is conditional if you read the Bible clearly. If you follow on to know the Lord, you've got to stay in this. He that endures to the end, that's the condition, shall be saved. That's if and then. You got to endure in this thing, endure with hardness like a good soldier. Anybody tell you anything different from that is telling you a damnable, filthy, gutter rot lie. That's the way it is. So you see now, what's the trick? What's got people bound in church and in the atmosphere? The soul life. And you know, everybody down here is totally self-conscious. Here's what you'll be like in church if you're self-conscious. Everything in church or in amongst the saints is based on how somebody treats me. How you treat me determines whether or not you're of God or not. You know, everybody's not going to be your close friend. As a matter of fact, God will handpick your close friends. You can be in any environment and you're going to have different degrees of friendships. But guess what? When you're whole, you don't need nobody to be your friend. Therefore, you can do what? Fellowship with everybody. If you don't need anybody, you can be around everybody. As you lose self-consciousness and you give yourself over to the Lord will begin to fill your spirit and make you whole. God is not looking for inflow into you. He's looking for what? Outflow. He wants to pour out from heaven through you to reach the masses. He's sending you to the nations to save the nations. And here you are talking about how somebody did you. How are you going to be used in the army to save anybody totally conscious of yourself and what somebody did to you? The world don't revolve around you. The planets revolve around the sun. The sun don't revolve around the planets. Everybody revolves around Jesus, not me and you. And you sit around sucking your thumb talking about how somebody did me, what they said to me. That's because you're still soulish. You're not spiritual. And I'm not going to downgrade it to accommodate you. You got to come up. People call me all the time, telling me I'm dirty, I'm low down, I show no love, you're just a mean, angry man. I ain't changing one inch. Because you got to come up. You're not used to having God rule you. Because you've been into yourself. God will frustrate selfishness all day long. All day long. You can whine to God forever about what's wrong with you and problems. He's just going to look at you. You got to come up. He wants a vessel fit for the master to use. And he can't use you if you're soulish because you're looking for inflow. I came to Atlanta to Omega Ministries for inflow. For y'all to love on me. You know what you're going to get? A combat boot in your butt saying, get out there in the war and fight. I love you. I love you. I love you to death. Get in the warfare. I love you. This is love. Tough love. Because that will secure your eternal life. You'll be a vessel fit for the master to use. You'll be a weapon of warfare. You'll be his battle axe. He'll adorn you with himself. He'll anoint you because you represent him. That's love. Not somebody trying to coddle you and you was hurt as a child. And let me go back in the back office and counsel you, brother. And now tell me what happened. Your mama did what to you? Your daddy hit you in the head with a vase and... Okay, now what happened? Your brother slapped you. And okay, then what happened? Your first wife beat you, cut you with a knife, and you was in prison for 2 years because you slapped her down some stairs. Okay, and all right, now then what happened? You'll be there forever. What's God's remedy? God's remedy is very simple. The cross. Kill him. Kill him and all of his problems are gone. He that is dead, the Bible said, is free from sin. He that ceases from sin will suffer in his flesh, because you are dictated to your flesh and it's suffering because it wants to do things. You won't let it. The cross is the end of sin for them that believe. To the unbeliever, to the Gentiles, to the heathen, is foolishness. But to us that believe, it's the power of God. Crucifying Adam is what set me free. Because you killed the Adamic nature in me. You killed the soulish life. You killed the self life. You got rid of this stinking self-consciousness. But guess what? Everybody that does not want to do it, the Bible says in Proverbs, they'll say what? There's a lion in the streets. We don't go out to war. There's a lion out there. I'm not going out there. And guess what they'll do? They'll cow down to the devil and blame you. It goes without exception. When any ever somebody's not serving God, they're going to find somebody to blame. What you did to me. The woman that you gave me. I blame you, God, and Eve. That's why I sin. It happens every time. Somebody else is to blame for the decisions I made to impugn myself. You did it to me. All the sin you've done and you had nothing to do with it. Don't blame me for your stupid mistakes and your stupid decisions and your filthy sins committed against God. Because God is the steady, never change an entity that you sinned against. You did this against God. You're not going to tell God they made me do it. Who are you supposed to be, Flip Wilson or somebody? The devil. You're not even going to blame the devil. The devil made me do it. Man, are you crazy? If you can blame everybody else, you can't go to hell. If you can blame everybody else for your sins, God cannot send you to hell. That's how crazy this is. Folk will roll in here and roll back out again because they're looking for self to be enthroned. They want everybody to pay attention to them. They want to come in recognized as an apostle. Walking like the apostolic walk. Man, nobody thinking about your crazy butt. See, the real person has moved from the body through the soul to die. See, the Egyptian people who were bound by idolatry from Egypt, they died in the wilderness. That's what he sent us through. And guess what? You circle there until it all dies. Notice how you circle until every one of them were dead. That's the rudiments in your soul that are left over from Egypt. You know what I mean? It's how much stuff you imported from the world into the church when you got saved. You brought a lot of the thinking patterns of the world with you into church. And God's got to kill them off. Because you think they're normal. And you talk to somebody that's trying to tell you, you're not normal. You're abnormal. And they look at you like, what do you mean? You don't understand what I'm... No, I understand what you're saying. You're not normal. And I ain't backing down one inch. You got to change. Because God does not change. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. The same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, I am that I am. That means if there's any change that got to be done, guess who got to make it?
Yes, Lord.
Yes, sir. I'll change.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And it's hard, man. It's hard. But you want somebody that ain't going to change and bow down to your emotions. Cry a river. Change. Hurt is part of this. It's going to hurt you. You're going to spend some time in weeping. But he tells you weeping may endure for tonight, but joy will come in the morning. The extraction of the cancer may make you weep, but the healed up state you'll experience afterwards is worth it. When he extracts stuff out of your flesh, when he cuts the Egypt out of your life, it's going to hurt because you're not conscious of the idols you carry. I didn't know I was an idolater. I didn't know I was Antichrist. I didn't know that I had things in me that were against God because I displaced and replaced God with an idol. I didn't know that I had another God before you. So guess what? The Holy Ghost will take that spotlight. Shine it right on your idol.
That's right.
Your wife, your husband, your kids, your job, your church membership, your pastor, your position in church, your board membership, the fact you're a deacon, a church mother. Folks come in at church as a church mother and proud of it. There go Mother Benson. She always got them hats. She got about 5,000 different hats. Look at that big old hat on her head. Good evening, Mother Benson. Yeah, excuse me. This is my seat. I have, you know, I am Mother Benson. So get your butt out of my seat before I beat you. I thought you were the church mother. You can idolize anything. The sky is the limit. It's a billion idols on this planet. You'd be amazed at what people make a big deal out of. Anything's in play. That's why God has to search through you and show you so you're an idolater. You can idolize your own feelings. How you make me feel is an idol to me. I didn't feel like you liked me. But when you're whole, you don't care. I don't walk around wondering if Rita likes me. Rita, I feel like, you know, somehow I feel like you got something against me. You don't like me. Do you start trying to change or modify? What must I do to make you like me? You know, get some money. What do you need? You're going to go crazy down here, man. You got to be delivered from the soul life. It's evil. The soul life has risen up full of idolatry against God. That's the warfare you're fighting. That's what church won't tell you. How many times would you hear a message like this in church? You know what you're gonna be, you know you're gonna be entertained at? The outer court. Well, I don't know, but it feel like help me, Holy Ghost. I feel like I remember back in the day in Mississippi, I was a young boy. I didn't have help me, Holy Ghost. I didn't have much, but the little that I had, I shared it with my neighbor. I shared it with my friends. I shared it with my family. I shared it with other people. I shared it. And the folks just be, diving out of plate glass windows. And the joke ain't said nothing. And got the dirty, you're like, help me, Holy Ghost. It's a ghost helping you, but he ain't holy. What's wrong with that guy? He's demon possessed. He's a soulish man, ministering to soulish people, and there's 25,000 people in here. Knowing it's God, down at the mega fist. A soulish man talking to soulish people. I bring it up, and guess what? All the soulish people hate a spiritual person. Because you're not impressed by soulish things. Deep calleth unto deep. Spirit talks to spirit. He won't. God does not come and append himself to the outer court. He's not here to entertain you. He's here to enter you and live in you. He wants to make his abode in you, sanctify your spirit for himself, and then have dominion over your soul and your flesh. That's how you get secure in God. That's why you minister the word like you do, because you're talking to a person's spirit, so their spirit man expands until they finally break out. I was talking to, what's your friend name? Alton, right? Alton today said, Price, I've been listening to this for about a year. I finally decided to come to it this morning. Because you can't just keep eating it, and that's going to begin to expand. Until finally, you can't take it no more. You got to do something or explode. Yes. See, when you're in a religious environment, you're confined. You'll go to it, but you feel chained up because inside of you, you put something in yourself that's. And see, a mind is designed like this. If you go to something that's religious and bondage and legalistic or in the flesh, and God is giving you spiritual food, guess what? What's going to happen to you? Your appetite is gone for that.
That's right.
When you got the real thing and you experience Jesus, you taste and you see that the Lord is good. See how your appetite changed when you got more mature? You became a very selective eater. I don't have an appetite for that anymore. That's how sin is. You don't have an appetite for sin anymore because you tasted it. You saw the Lord was good. So when you pump into these folk the real word, it's going to be hard to go back to the vomit of religion. The Bible calls it a dog returning to his vomit and a pig to wallowing in the mire again, her mire again, as a matter of fact. That's why we just tell it. I don't look at the same world. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. God's got some people somewhere. Just speak to emptiness. Speak to nothingness. He'll amalgamate them when he's ready. Because the word will not return unto him void. It's going to accomplish the purpose that he sent it to accomplish. That's why you got to walk by faith and not by sight. I can't do this depending on my senses. I can't do it based on what I see. I had a young guy call me the other day. Man, we're looking at you over here in Europe. My daddy asked me, why are there a lot of people in there with him? He said, Dad, he's telling the truth. That's why. It's amazing how the young boy can see it. If it was soulish, if it was entertaining, it would be Jay-Z and Beyonce and Rihanna. That's what church people are looking for. Their senses have been trained to be entertained. But see, a spiritual person has had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Sensuality is evil. The body is world conscious. The soul is self-conscious. Your spirit man, when born again, is God conscious. Now, if your spirit is not born again, guess what? It's dead. It's just a slave to what? Your lust and passions. Your spirit is drug around as a dead slave. Just wherever your body and your feelings direct it, that's where it goes. I'm walking around in the womb, my butt's on fire. This thing done come down on me. I got to find myself somebody to be with. God. This thing about to burn me up. Let me find the first girl I see. Get a one night stand, anything. And then the lust be so bad, they're ordering all kinds of old toys and stuff. Brown paper bags coming to your house by the truckload. All kind of old lawnmower handles and tractors and all kinds of pulleys and all kinds of gizmos and gadgets. Man, you like Inspector Gadget. You got all that. Go in your house, you got all kind of stuff. And can't even feel, what is that? What? Doggone. You know, pliers and hedge trimmers and all this stuff. What's wrong with you? All this stuff trying to get an orgasm. Cause this lust burning my guts out of me. Now they're making dolls for it. They say they got dolls. Now the woman will never need a man again. Anatomically correct, just like a man with a continual erection. And she go with a doll up in the bed. Go home, she been with a doll. The doll and the smoke of the cigarette. Everybody in there crazy. Y'all crazy. Look, I know somebody up in there crazy. And see, they'll make me the crazy one. Notice how the crazy folk will make you the crazy one. I walk in next to Bruce Jenner in drag, and I'm crazy. Now look at this. Now I'm standing next to Bruce Jenner. He's perfectly normal, and I'm crazy. That's what we got going on. What has the world become because of sensuality? And it's insane asylum. These people are driven crazy. They're driven crazy. Man, this thing is getting real, man. Really real. Like the people say, those are young people trying to use abbreviations, FR, FR, for real, for real. That's how it's getting. So these words are used in the Bible, natural, carnal, fleshly, and soulish. All these things are the same thing. Earthly, sensual, leading to demonic. Look at Romans chapter 8. Man, we got to fight. We got to fight like never before. You got to put up your dukes and just fight. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. I told you that word is what? Soulish, psychikos. Soulish people, you don't walk after the dictates of your senses, but you walk after the Holy Spirit. Meaning your spirit has to be alive to follow the nameless servant who is leading you back home. He's leading you back to Abraham and Isaac. He came to get you to lead you home. So you have to walk after the Spirit as he leads you away from the flesh. There's no condemnation of that person if you're headed back home in the Spirit. Stop hanging around with your friends who are not saved. They're killing you. Killing you. You compromise around them. You're not ministering to them. You think you're still being friendly and nice, and they just cutting your throat. Because they're still fleshly, carnal, and Adamic. It's a difference between ministering to somebody who wants to get saved and somebody you just hanging around with. What fellowship has Christ with Belial? Flesh and spirit don't mix. It's like water and oil. For the law of the Spirit, there's the law we live under, not the law of Moses. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So therefore, we changed dispensations. We changed covenants. I'm no longer under the law of sin and death. I'm under the law of the Holy Ghost. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh? Jesus' flesh. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So what's he after? Not the law. The righteousness of the law. See, the law was good, righteous, but the flesh couldn't do it. You see what I'm saying? God gave a spiritual law to a carnal people, knowing they couldn't do it. So he said, this is a schoolmaster to lead you to Christ, the anointed one who can do it. Now you die to the law and come into him, and you'll have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to you. And I'll accept you. And people said, no, I'll do it my way. So you get Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Roman Catholics. Go down the list of them. All of these people are trying to do it their way. Anything but Jesus Christ and his righteousness imputed to me. I'm going to get a black satchel and go door to door like a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness and work my way in. And not let Jesus' righteousness be imputed to me. That's what the conflict is. Self has become religious. Flesh is still the soulish man. Baptist flesh, Methodist flesh, Pentecostal flesh, Episcopalian flesh is flesh trying to work under legalistic systems of religion, trying to earn my way. No, the way in is the cross. You got to die to that old nature for Christ to live. He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind, they meditate upon, they think about the things of the flesh. Your mind is a governor. It's a good arbiter of whether or not you're in the flesh or the Spirit. What do you think about? Your mind is going to tell you what you are. I'm thinking about Game of Thrones, Scandal, Empire, Jay-Z's new record. Look what people discuss on the internet, call themselves Christians. That's what they think about. They post what they think about. They're in the flesh. That's what they think about. Disregard them, get moving, data dump them all, and you keep going. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, to be soulish, is the definition of what? Death. If you got a carnal mind, if you're soulish, you're dead. But to be spiritually minded is the definition of life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, they that are soulish, they that obey the dictates of their five carnal senses cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God lives in you, he dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So you see now, it's all about the Holy Ghost taking over residence in your spirit. But guess what? He won't flow in as long as you got an idol in your soul. A lot of folks want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, but they got an idol in their soul. That's the block. You got another God. And God is going to show you what your God is. Because guess what? Your God is going to always turn on you. Your God going to beat you down. And you'll say, that ain't my God. Just watch it beat you down. It's going to carry you through hell on earth until you let it go. It's the way it goes. He's going to show you just what you worship. And your emotional state is going to be an indicator of the fact that I got another God. Because it can change me emotionally through interacting with it. And everybody sacrifices to their God. You'll sacrifice to your God. Sin ain't easy. You sacrifice to your God. You got out of work Friday night tired, but you want to go to the club and do some booty shaking. So you slap some water in your face, slapped yourself around, got them clothes on, and you was at the club. Tired as a dog at 5 o'clock, but you out there on the dance floor at 9:15. Because you sacrificed to your God. The demon in you wanted to go to the club. And the demon can even energize you. If not, get you some speed. Some get you hyped up enough to get this done for the night because I want to have some fun. See, demons want to have fun. You know, you had friends in the world that you really enjoyed being with because they were funny. They would make you laugh. They were a lot of fun, but y'all was going to hell together. But y'all had fun. You can look back on the spirit and now, you know, that old Carlos, man, he sure was funny though. Man, he used to have us cracking up. We'd be laughing at his jokes and everything, but y'all on the slow road to hell though. Y'all laughing right into the lake of fire together. So you'll have memories that are fond memories of this hellion and you going to hell together, but you enjoyed him. But they were funny though, buddy. Man, I remember that time you started recounting memories and stuff. But y'all was going to hell though. Yeah, I know, but y'all was going to hell. That's how crazy the call of mind is. It'll try to find some kind of a way to make it all right. This thing is crazy. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. Did anybody see that? We don't have the spirit of the world. So what you talking about the world for all the time? But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Wouldn't you like to find that out? Yes. What in the world has God freely given me that I don't know about? Yes. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that word there, soulish, the psychikos man, the soulish man, we get the word psychology from it. The man that is into himself, the man that depends on his five carnal senses. That natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are what? Don't you know you can have somebody a CD from this message? You know what they're going to tell you? That's crazy. That guy crazy. I didn't understand nothing he said. You can sit here right now and understand everything I'm saying. Hand it to another church person and they'll tell you I didn't understand anything he said. That's just stupid. That's crazy what he said. That's supernatural. If you can hear this, there has been supernatural intervention wrought in your life that you're not even aware of. Folks sitting in church claiming to know God for 20 years can't hear anything that God says. He says they're foolish unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual does what? I thought you couldn't judge nothing. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Judgment by a Christian depends on whether or not the Holy Ghost governs your mind or not. Right. Is the Holy Ghost imparted into your spirit governing your mind to judge righteous judgment? That's why they tell you you can't judge, because they don't have spiritual minds. So their sins are trying to be justified and you can't say anything about it. Yes, I can. Because he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what?
Mind.
The mind, the intellect, the knowledge, the reasoning capabilities of Christ. That's a whole nother ball game. You can see that God is after your mind. The mind is the control center of the soul. So you see, now look at this paradigm in front of us. God has to use your soul to accomplish his will on earth. Guess what? If the soul houses other things other than God, he can't use it because it's unclean.